It's Black Friday time. A little birdie told me Very have some fab deals.
Ooh, there's an Under Armour men's training knit tracksuit, only £45.50.
And the Boss Bottled Knight 200ml, only £59.
Flamazing.
All your Black Friday deals for fashion, home and more. Plus Very Pay. Ways to pay that work your way. Very. Let's make it sparkle. Under Armour offer ends 19th of November. Boss offer ends 30th of November. Event ends 2nd of December. Delivery from £3.99.
This Black Friday, get 3 months of Virgin Media's smooth, lightning-fast broadband, totally free, from the provider awarded best broadband experience. Smooth like a walrus on a speedboat, powering through open fjord waters. Yeah, that's smooth. Visit virginmedia.com. Virgin Media. See what you can do. New customers. Virgin Fiber areas. User speed a month. Four price depends on package choice. GWS award comparing major UK providers' average performance scores. See virginmedia.com/legal/awards.
Health isn't someday in the future. It's now. It's same day GP appointments when you need that niggle seen to. And getting the results for your cancer test fast. Health is a direct line to experts, whatever time of day you need it. And mental health support that doesn't have an expiry date. Feeling your best every day starts today. Search Bupa Health Insurance to get your quote now. Bupa, this is health. Pre-existing conditions not covered. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi there, Bush and Richie here. Our mates at Tesco Mobile are bringing online safety front and centre. Together, we're starting a conversation that matters, keeping your family safe online. As dads, we know the hardest part is knowing where to begin. Thankfully, Tesco Mobile work with child psychologist Dr. Martha and online safety experts Internet Matters to create helpful conversation starters. Pop into the cafe at your local Tesco or visit our website to find Tesco Mobile's helpful guide and share your tips for the chance to win a cosy family weekend escape to reconnect with each other. Head to absoluteradio.co.uk to enter. Tune in, stay safe and start the conversation with Tesco Mobile. It pays to be connected.
Absolute Radio presents Tim's Listening Party.
With Tim Burgess.
Telling the story behind another iconic album with the geezers who made it.
For more episodes, subscribe to the podcast or listen on the free Absolute Radio app.
Welcome back to Tim's Listening Party on Absolute Radio. I'm Tim Burgess. If you're new to the show, I've brought my world-famous Twitter listening party to the radio, which is why I'm chatting with Nile Rodgers about Chic's third album, Risqué, from 1979. If you've just joined us and want to hear the whole episode, search Tim's Listening Party wherever you get your podcasts. There you can also find episodes with Tears of Fears, Def Leppard, Sparks, Lloyd Cole, and many more. Whatever decade or genre of music you're into, there'll be something for you. Also, please keep your messages coming on social media using the hashtag Tim's Listening Party. Track 4 is My Forbidden Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Such a big single.
Yeah.
One of the best, right?
Yeah, My Forbidden Lover. Once again, another song with the good old raised 5 chord in it. And typically, the reason why I would use those type of harmonic progressions is because by having that one note stick out in the voice leading, it would allow me to build my chords in almost all fourths. So there would be this sort of beautiful undercurrent that you didn't quite know why it sounded pretty.
Right.
It just would sound pretty.
Yeah.
And then we get back to the real deal, to the minor 7 and a major, whatever. But that song about the strings doing the very staccato, they were just keeping the pulse. Once again, they're not the feature, but at that point we wanted them. When we would do the live show, we love it when we would make them stand up and they would just go and be in the groove. My Forbidden Lover was, in a strange way, a sad song. It was two sad songs that I had written at that time because I was in love with a girl at the time, and then I'd meet their best friend and go, oh my God, she's amazing. Like, wow. The song on the second album, I Want Your Love, my girlfriend was this beautiful, wonderful artist named Nefertiti. And Nefertiti had a friend named Michelle Ali, So there were these two really cool black hip girls that were like in the scene and Studio 54. And Nefertiti and I were really thrilled and happy until one day she has a party and this girl, Michelle, shows up. And I go, whoa, who is that? Because as I said, this was during the time of sex, drugs, rock and roll. Well, my girlfriend at the time was, believe it or not, my product manager at the record label. And she was married, and she was married for like 80 gazillion years. And it was like, ugh, everything was clandestine and undercover. And so I wrote, My Forbidden Lover, I Don't Want No Other. Because we were a really important couple. We were together for over a decade whilst she was married. And I even went to her stepdaughter's graduation at Harvard and the whole bit. So it was like she was my family and my girlfriend. Yeah. But how did her husband not know it? Because he was one of the wealthiest people in New York City. It was like, so that means that he probably had a whole life going on over there. And it was just that world of the 70s. And you think about the whole sexual revolution and the Masters and Johnson era and Playboy magazine and stuff. And we talked about this open sex and women's right to have abortions and things like that as intellectuals and also as people who cared. My mom almost died from 3 coat hanger abortions.
Oh my God.
We were people who cared. Like, why does a woman have to go through that when it could be safe? If guys had to go through that, I guarantee you the law would be changed like that. Mm-hmm. But this is a very open-minded kind of world. And if you didn't participate, big deal. So you didn't. No one made you, which is the reason why I'm so disturbed about this current world, because we all think other people's ways of lives are our problems, mm-hmm. which, like, that's the most absurd thing. Like, if you drive a Volvo, I don't care. Like, that's your choice. If you, you know, like ravioli, it's, like, that's fine. I don't have to eat it if I don't like it. Why would I be off and have a movement? Hey, we're going to burn down your house if we don't like ravioli. Like, what do you, idiots? It's like, and the reason why I reduce it to such elementary type of thinking, because it's elementary. Yeah, it's childish. Yeah. It's not intellectual. It's not, well, the GDP of America, no, it's just because you're damn racist and you want to be able to pick on somebody easy. And I know, because when I was a kid, just because I was different, people would pick on me because it was easy. It was like it wasn't some complex thing. It was just like, look at that guy. Look at that skinny black kid. Let's go beat him up. They didn't sit around and go, there's that skinny black kid, let's beat him up. Well, you know, they're talking about the nuclear arms treaty, and please, we're talking about non-Euclidean geometry and maybe fractal geometry in the future. And it was like, no, it was just, he's black, he's skinny, let's beat him up.
Oh, my God. Well, now, it's time for a song. This is track 4, opening side 2 of Risqué, My Forbidden Lover. We'll be right back. My Forbidden Lover on Absolute Radio. It's Tim Burgess here with another listening party. I'm chatting to Nile Rodgers about Chic's Risqué. Is it a myth that you always start a song with the chorus?
That I always start a song with the chorus?
Yeah.
It's not a myth.
It's the truth?
It's the truth, but it's not dogmatic. It's not like every single song, but I would say 95% of my songs.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, yesterday I made a record with Burna Boy. Three records. Smoking. Just absolutely smoking.
Wow. Like, there you go.
And I loved it, and they were saying, God damn, you've never seen anyone write that fast. My God, I'm 72 years old. I've been doing this a long time. And I still feel young, so let's go. Three songs like that. The rest of the time we're just talking about the world. It was really cool working with Burner's producer, and he had a little beat. And I said, no, man, let's start it like this. And he was like, oh, that's so cool. And he wound up like editing my lick at the top. So it had an intro,
yeah.
But it was basically the chorus building to the chorus.
You know, the chorus building to the chorus, right.
It was like a breakdown chorus building to the final payoff.
Nice.
And then we'd go into the song. You know, man, that's the pleasure of working on art of any type. But because my speciality is music, it's just wonderful, man, to walk into a room, person you never met before, and there's that connection, and it's smoking.
Like, and how do you feel when you walk in? Do you still get the kind of, like, you know, for me, I love meeting musicians, and I kind of get a sort of tingle, and it's like a little bit like butterflies, and then you make the connection, and it's actually just gets smoother and smoother and smoother as the day goes along.
Right.
I mean, that's the way I feel, and it's like, you know, there's excitement, intrepidation, all those magical sort of things, you know. And
yeah, no, it's great, man. Yesterday I was at Abbey Road, so I pretty much know everybody, and if I don't know them, I want to meet them.
Yeah, of course.
So I say, okay, so who's in, you know, Studio 2? Okay, they're doing a big orchestral score for so-and-so. I said, well, who's the composer? Simon. Somebody. I said, I don't know him, but I want to walk in and meet him. And
because
I walk in, all the musicians know me because I've worked on big classical scores. And, you know, so it was fun. And then I went upstairs and I met James.
James Blake, right?
And I was like, going, whoa, dude. I said, do you know one of my favorite songs of all time is, and like he's sitting there and he's like wondering what I'm going to do. And yeah. I start singing. I said, Retrograde. I said, how the hell did you think of humming through that song as a loop? Like right. You just hummed all the way through it. And I just love, you know, just show me how you're strong. Love anybody else, or you're alone now. Whatever, because he's got an incredible voice. Yeah. I had no idea that dude could sing like that, and I'm trying to imitate him, and I suck. And it was great. He was so flattered, and I was so happy to meet him. It's like, dude, you're the man. So it was just great.
It feels like home then, Abbey Road, even though, you know, I don't know how many times you've, you know, worked there, but
yeah,
as a studio, it has that feeling, doesn't it?
Creative director for now, yeah. Almost 3 years running, and
oh, wow.
It's been
okay.
Great, yeah. You know, being able to bring in younger musicians, being able to bring in people like Bruno Mars, Anderson yeah. .Paak, yeah. The Zutons, who yeah. are now doing pretty well with the new album we just finished.
We had them on here, yeah.
I hope they said good things about me because we had a blast.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about another mutual friend of ours, Johnny Marr.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Yeah.
My brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, obviously you talk about everything, but do you talk about guitars a lot?
Not a lot.
No. Composition?
Composition and vibe.
Yeah.
And we talk about the things that we like, that we have in common. And most people, because Johnny comes from this, what looks like this sort of like very dirty, punkish kind of post-punk,
Manchester.
Whatever you want to call it, Manchester, yeah, and, you know, vibe. And see, that's funny. They think musicians are like all one-dimensional.
I know.
So the very first time Johnny Marr walked up on stage with me and played, we played Hamilton Bohannon foot stomping
music.
Foot stomping music, and he was into it. Foot stomping music, and then he told me that when his son Niall was born, he didn't allow Niall to listen to anything until he heard Chic. He covered his ears, ran the baby out to the car, and turned on a Chic song and said, "I wanted the first song you hear in your life to be a Nile Rodgers song." I was blown away.
You can really hear it in his playing.
Yeah.
That he was definitely inspired by you. And obviously calling his son Niall.
It's like, okay, Johnny, can you pay me?
I asked him down to come and play on a Charlatans record. He came down, started playing, and then said, okay, that's it. And it was amazing, you know, as he often is, like, first take, you know, always his first take. Ended up playing on four songs. Within about, I don't know, 3 hours or something
right,
like that.
Yeah,
I was just
great.
Wow, man, yeah. Still got it. You're listening to Tim's Listening Party on Absolute Radio. Here's Chic with Can't Stand to Love You.
Your day. Every night I pray, can't stand to love you. And every night and day, I can't stand to love you, babe. on my back.
You could try to be discreet.
I let you go. Now you think I'm upset the way that you treated me. You think I were into S&M. I can't deal with it. You won't get away with it.
Santa Love You by Chic on Absolute Radio. Niall, tell me about that last song.
Mm-hmm. So we were a band. We were pretty good people, but, you know, sometimes you wind up falling in love or falling in like with the girls in your band. Mm-hmm. And we had more girls in Chic than we had guys. So we had 3 girls on violin. We had 2 girls on horns. We had 2 girls singing with us. And then when Luther Vandross was with us.
Alpha?
We had Alpha and Lucy. Those are the main stars. But people don't realize that if you look at the album credits, you'll see Luther Vandross and he would have girls with him. So at some point in time, you wind up becoming close and you go out with one girl and next thing you know, you're going out with a different one. And it was just, you know, it's like, I can't stand to love you because it creates a little bit of tension in the band.
Yeah.
The great thing about Chic is that it never created that much tension because we all liked each other and we were all kind people.
Yeah.
The thing that got bad was near the end, where drugs made you start to see the world in a perspective that wasn't actually accurate.
Right.
So you could get angry about something that would no longer be a relevant topic to be angry about. But for some reason, because you were all lit up on coke, you'd all... Yeah. Often. So Can't Stand to Love You was a song about the inner actions and workings of Chic. And we didn't really write about ourselves that much, but that particular song and that album. So when you get it, when you say, like, when you hear this song, will you cry?
Yeah.
And
that's such a heartbreaking song.
Because at that point, Bernard and I were going out with Lucy and Alpha, and then we had switched. And so Lucy sings that song, and she goes, love is pain, and pain I don't want to get into it.
That's very Fleetwood Mac and Rolling Stones, isn't it?
Well, it goes, love is pain, and pain could be pleasure. If you know, it's like, but now it's your turn to cry.
It's a heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, it's really, and it's just so beautiful. And one of the greatest moments of my life was a band that I idolized, the Isley Brothers.
Oh, I love the Isley Brothers.
And I was like, whoa, the Isley Brothers are covering Chic.
Amazing. Let's hear the penultimate track on Risqué. Will You Cry When You Hear This Song? Actually, it's Will You Cry (?) When You Hear This Song (?).
Pleasure it
Chic with Will You Cry, open brackets when you hear the song, close brackets, on Tim's Listening Party. Nile Rodgers still joins me, going through Chic's 1979 album, Risqué. What about the cover? I'm intrigued by the cover. You know, it's kind of like, looks kind of like old times, black and white photo.
That was the whole point.
And it is a piano, right, on the cover?
Yeah.
Okay, so where was that?
It's basically what we did is we built a set that was like an Agatha Christie novel. It was like, okay, the butler did it. So you see Bernard, he's got a knife stuck in his back and he's lying on the piano.
Yeah.
And then on the next picture, we're all happy, like, hey, whatever, you know. It's like, who killed Bernard Edwards? Like, what's going on here? And what was really interesting about that cover, which we were allowed to do because we had just recorded the biggest selling hit.
Yeah, great.
Now money was no object.
Yeah, that freedom.
Every single thing that you see in that shot is authentic. All came from museums. All came from big private collections. And every single artifact was the real deal. There was no, like, fake, you know, books. It was like, nope, it had to come from the Carnegie Collection. It had to come from the Museum of Modern Art. And, you know, it's like they let us borrow that stuff. And
beautiful.
That's valuable.
Yeah.
If one thing had gotten ruined, it'd be gone.
You must have felt so good to be able to do that, you know, for your album sleeve, you know?
To be a black artist in America and to have that type of artistic freedom where we could talk about the Nicholas Brothers, that's why we had them dancing on it.
Yeah.
That's why we did the cover in black and white.
Yeah.
We knew that our history and our present and our future was connected to Cab Calloway and John Coltrane and Nina Simone and Lena Horne and all those people. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to show them all on the cover like Sgt. Pepper or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we felt, just as artists, we knew in our hearts, if other people didn't get it, it's okay. But sometimes as an artist, you have to live for the reality that you know exists,
yeah,
and you commit to it.
Yeah.
A very famous, wonderful actor and activist and a great man named Harry Belafonte, mm-hmm, sat me down one day when I was in the Black Panthers, and he looked at me and he says, artists are the gatekeepers of truth. What we did with that album cover is we were showing you the truth that in order for us to be who we are and sell the biggest selling, we had to have John Coltrane. We had to have Cab Calloway. We had to have Lena Horne. We had to have James Brown. Yeah, we had to have all these people.
Yeah.
So how do we show that? We show these books that are first edition books, and we said, what did black people, what were they known for? They were known for entertainment. They were just side characters in films. They were never the stars. So we were just playing this sort of side characters, maybe the butler did it kind of thing. It was just, you know, a complete artistic concept, and we were paying homage to our heroes.
I love it. Amazing. What story? Your friend, John Bon Jovi, said that he wrote A Lot of Slippery When Wet by a fridge in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard you talk about, like, you know, writing songs in your apartment. Is there anywhere in particular that you like to write?
No. I just walk around with the guitar.
Yeah.
The only thing that I used to think about was the bed, because I had, you know, a pile of manuscript paper just sitting next to the bed.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful vision for me. When I did Let's Dance, same thing. I went to Switzerland. I'm at Bowie's house. And I just had a pile of manuscript paper next to the bed, because I figured if he walked in with an idea, I wanted to be able to capture it, because we didn't have these cell phones. And
of course,
we couldn't record right away. I guess we had, like, little cheap cassette players, but it just wasn't my vibe. I was a jazz classical guy. Like, no, I want to write it out, because I want to get the harmonic structure exactly right and the voice leading going to the next chords. So, you know, that was my thing. I just carried manuscript paper around with me, and it was usually right next to the bed, because I don't sleep very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch television all night, and it's somewhat illuminated in the corner, the manuscript paper. And if I'm watching a movie and I hear a lick, and I go, oh, wait a minute, that's a cool idea. Let me write this down. So, yeah, and I don't have any place more special than the bed.
The last song on the album, this classic album, What About Me?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about choosing the last track?
So, typically, in those days, because we were limited by vinyl, by what
the length,
the bass response and blah blah blah, and the grooves and the depth of the groove, and, you know, so we had to lay out our albums like films, and that's what was really important to us. We would create a film, and the singles were the trailers.
Yeah.
Those were the things that made you want to see the complete film. So we would lay it out, and I go, this is the end. And here's the beginning, the middle, and end. All of our albums had beginnings, middle, and ends.
Let's hear that final song from Risqué, What About Me?
I gave my love, don't you see?
What About Me by Chic, concluding their album Risqué on the listening party. Now, a few final questions from me.
So, you worked with all the great and the good. Madonna being a favourite of mine.
Yeah.
I'm a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And I play in a band called The Charlatans. And I had the chance of meeting Madonna, and I really blew it. We played at the Limelight in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she came backstage and I was in a bit of a right old mess. It's a regrettable moment. I was kind of lying in a deli tray. And she walked through and I was really looking forward to meeting her, and all she said was gross. And which I kind of like, I like that as the punchline of the story. However, you know, I was like, you know, I just, I've had so many things to say.
Right.
To her. And, you know, I was in my drug days, basically. So I was,
We all were.
Yeah. So, I mean, I figured that she'd seem worse, but
she had.
Yeah. Going back to the musician bit. I was hoping that you could play the guitar for me.
I actually left my guitar in the car. I said to the driver, I said, do you think I need to bring my guitar upstairs? He said, nah. I said, okay, great.
I said to you that I have a guitar.
Oh, you do? Probably I won't like yours, but let me see if I do.
Okay. Obviously, no pressure.
No. I don't mind pressure.
The thing that you have to learn about me is I don't mind sucking because inherently I know I'm pretty good.
I think the whole world knows that.
It looks cool. Oh, it looks really cool. Oh, it's a fox. Wow. Oh, it looks very, very, very cool.
And I was thinking, you know, I mean,
I love the fact that it's white.
Yes, I thought you might like that.
A chrome pick guard. Hey, pal, you're like ripping me off here. What's going on, man?
I mean, I'm guessing that the Hitmakers locked up in Fort Knox. Pretty good. Wow.
That's all right.
How does it feel? I mean,
it feels really good, man.
I love that guitar.
Really good.
It's, I mean,
I'm shocked.
Really?
It feels really good.
Oh, I'm glad.
See, I grew up on jazz guitars, so what this is. The neck, the radius and the width of the neck is actually quite comfortable.
Yeah.
It's very, very sort of Gibson-like in its construction. And the action is very nice. I love the fact you have light strings.
Yeah, thank you. The Hitmaker.
Yeah, it's cool.
Your guitar.
My guitar.
Yeah, I mean, is there just one?
There is just one.
Okay.
I mean, Fender is making new ones now. Oh, look at that, dude. Here's so much magic. The Hitmaker has a very, very thin headstock, just like you have right here.
Uh-huh.
It's a wee bit thinner than yours, but yours is very thin. If you look at a regular Stratocaster, you'll see that the headstock is, you know, thicker than this, and I cannot convince Fender to go like this.
Really?
And I try and explain to people that the mass of the guitar, though it may seem scientifically correct, and everybody will admit that the mass has a lot to do with it, to a player, that just little bit of difference makes all...
I can imagine.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Look at your head. That, man. People have to understand this is the big deal. Because what's happening is that the strings are resonating up the body. Okay, great. They're doing their thing there. But this thing here, for some reason, and I wish I understood mathematically why, this very thin headstock makes that brightness happen when you're playing. But this is the magic.
It's got a really nasty sound, you know, like if you just plug it in and, you know, which I really like, you know, kind of... you know, that kind of 60s buzz, kind of thing.
Yeah, this is awesome looking, man. This is cool. I didn't think that this would feel cool, but this is amazing to me.
My friend has one, and it is pretty much built around the same time, and it's completely different.
What year is this?
I think it's 80s.
This is cool.
Well, we're going to wrap it up, but I would love to talk to you one day about Sister Sledge. We are family, and thinking of you in particular. And
how about Diana Ross?
I'm coming out. Just amazing, right?
How about Bowie? How about In Excess? How about Duran?
I would like to talk to you about all of those things, but I particularly with thinking of you.
Yeah.
I bought that when I was a punk, you know? Right. And it's just like, you know, musicians aren't linear, but I wasn't a musician then, you know, I mean... Mm-hmm. But I just think that it really resonated with me as a teenager growing up in Manchester.
Yeah. Manchester is happening, man.
Oh, yeah.
When we went to clubs in Manchester and we perform, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Off the scale.
And I just got to throw this out here.
Oh, please.
Manchester, it could be freezing in the winter time, and the girls are showing up at the clubs like almost half naked. I'm like going, what? They're not wearing coats. They're wearing micro mini skirts. I'm like going, I need to move to this place. This is incredible. Manchester is such a sexy, hip town, man.
There's always been links with New York, Manchester.
Oh, it's awesome, man.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
You've got to get on with your day now, I'm sure, but it could have lasted for hours.
Yes.
That was Sister Sledge and Thinking About You, another Nile Rodgers masterpiece, concluding the listening party. Thanks to Nile Rodgers for joining me on this episode of my listening party to tell me all about Chic's classic album, Risqué. If you've heard the show before, you know I like to end each episode by telling you about what I've been listening to recently. So, Madonna, the album Like a Virgin, but in particular, the track Angel, which is one of my favourites of hers. And it was produced by Nile Rodgers. Also produced by Nile Rodgers. Yeah, Bowie album called Let's Dance. So let's recommend Let's Dance. Would break my heart in two if you should fall into my arms, tremble like a flower. I know that Nile is friends with Johnny Marr. And I like to play Ask by the Smiths a lot lately, for some reason. I don't know why, but it's great. Everything that Johnny does is great, but this is Johnny doing what he's great at. And Sister Sledge, you know, for me, we are family. It's just gorgeous. And that's Niles all over that one too. So Sister Sledge, a greatest hits would be something I've been listening to. Talking about recommendations, why don't you recommend this show to a friend? Tell them to replay any previous listening parties by just searching and following Tim's Listening Party wherever you get your podcasts. There you'll find a whole archive of listening parties with the likes of B-52s talking about Making Cosmic a Thing with the help of Nile Rodgers. You can hear the wonderfully chaotic chat that I had with Pete Doherty and Carl Barrett of the Libertines, and Jim Kerr and Charlie Birchall of Simple Minds talked through their 1982 record New Gold Dream. Tonight's listening party may be over, but you can keep getting in touch on socials using the hashtag Tim's Listening Party. I'm Tim Burgess and thanks for listening. I'll see you next time for another listening party.
Absolute Radio, telling the story behind another iconic album with Tim Burgess.
Get involved using the hashtag Tim's Twitter Listening Party.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Rains drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling
Friday, get 3 months of Virgin Media's smooth, lightning-fast broadband, totally free, from the provider awarded best broadband experience. Smooth like a walrus on a speedboat, powering through open fjord waters. Yeah, that smooth. Visit virginmedia.com. Virgin Media. See what you can do. New customers. Virgin Fiber areas. User speed a month. Four price depends on package choice. GWS award comparing major UK providers' average performance scores. See virginmedia.com/legal/awards.
Oh, how relaxing was that yoga session? I feel so free.
Speak for yourself. I can never let go.
Bladder leaks. I know, right? I'm so done compromising. I got a new bit of yoga kit. Always discreet pads. Here, try for yourself next week.
Love you lots, but this thin pad won't keep up with my heavy leaks.
Just trust me on this one. So, all zen and liberated, are we?
Let's just say I found my flow.
Always discreet. Live with no compromise.
Knowing you've just re-entered your curly era, your partner has got you this Dyson Airwrap. You'll cheat on your hairstylist after realizing how easy Hollywood waves actually are. Your partner, being him, knows nothing about hair, of course, except that it's 86% of your personality. Give knowingly. John Lewis.
Okay. Mum, Dad, you're in our room. What? We're in Jess's room. Jess, Daisy, Sophie and Layla, you're in Daisy's room.
Yes.
Nan, you're in the spare room.
Greetings.
Michael, Mickey, you've won the sofa.
Oh, cool.
Uncle John, you're in the living room floor. Auntie Trish and Uncle Colin, you're in the utility room.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, you're in the shed.
Oh.
Big festive get-together coming up. Better get a travel lodge. Find king-size comfort up and down the country at travelodge.co.uk. With up to 699 miles combined range, the BYD Seal U DMI takes you further. Book a test drive at bydthewildrobot.co.uk and you could win a family adventure courtesy of DreamWorks The Wild Robot in cinemas now.
Task acquired.
And remember,
a Razum always completes its task.
Prices start from £33,205. Combined range WLTP. Actual range dependent on individual driving conditions. Price based on BYD Boost version. Other models may vary. See website for details.
Hi there, Bush and Richie here. Our mates at Tesco Mobile are bringing online safety front and centre. Together, we're starting a conversation that matters, keeping your family safe online.
As dads, we know the hardest part is knowing where to begin. Thankfully, Tesco Mobile work with child psychologist Dr. Martha and online safety expert Internet Matters to create helpful conversation starters.
Pop into the cafe at your local Tesco or visit our website to find Tesco Mobile's helpful guide and share your tips for the chance to win a cozy family weekend escape to reconnect with each other.
Head to absoluteradio.co.uk to enter.
Tune in, stay safe and start the conversation with Tesco Mobile. It pays to be connected.
Absolute Radio.
Here we are, night shifting our way into the start of another week. It's Absolute Radio. I'm Dan Noble, hope you're doing well. Got tunes from the Wombat and Boston both coming up after one of the very best from the Chili Peppers.
Take me to the place.